All right, open your Bibles with me to the book of Hebrews. We are going to continue in the series of sermons. This is the last. There are only two. And it's been with great reluctance that I've even preached on the subject of angels. And I have done more study over the last few weeks on angels than I have done heretofore in my life. And frankly, I wanted to elevate all of our thinking to what the Bible truly says about angels. I did not want to draw undue attention to angels. My concern has been and will always be that we have a tendency to be more interested in things that are not of significance instead of being interested in the one who is truly significant, and that is the Lord Jesus. And so today I want to kind of recap what I said last week. If you weren't here, you will kind of get a quick overview of what was said last week. And if you would like to know even more, you can listen to the podcast. Join the millions across America that do so. They don't tell me about it, but there's just millions. A lot of people's view on angels came, I guess, from some of the TV shows that became popular. Michael Landon from Bonanza fame was guilty, I guess, of kind of popularizing angels. We have shows like Seventh Heaven and Touched by an Angel and others. And many of you know that we just finished up the first part of the book of Revelation as far as our study. And you know that we kind of toil against TV shows and movies and popular ways of thinking, because we tend to get our understanding of important things, unfortunately, from places we should not get them. TV shows are not really good places to discover the truth about anything, especially something that is so important to the Word of God, this subject of angels. Now, having said that, I do recognize there are questions that you have concerning angels, and I'm going to deal with some of those today, as I've already dealt with some as well. But let me just recap for those of you who were not here last week. Angels are created beings. It is God Himself who created them. When did He create them? When He created them. That's when He created them. How about that for an answer? We don't have anything in Scripture that tells us when God created angels. But He did, because by Him and through Him and for Him, all things exist and were created. So we know that He created angels as well. They are different from us. We are not becoming angels. We will not get wings someday. We will fly, but we won't have wings flapping. That would look weird anyway. Now, angels can take upon themselves the appearance of men. I say that because in Scripture we see angels as men. Ladies, I know you don't think that could be true, but it is possible that men can be angels even when it is not your anniversary, birthday, or even Mother's Day. They can also be angels other times. And so, well, thank you. Their purpose is different depending on whom we're talking about when we refer to different angels. It depends on which one you're speaking about. Michael is the archangel in Scripture, and there are no other archangels in the New Testament and the Old Testament. Michael is the archangel. The Bible says that Michael, I believe, according to 1 Thessalonians, who is the archangel, will fill the sky with His presence someday. There will be a shout. And it says the shout of the archangel, and I'm going to assume that is Michael, because Michael is the archangel mentioned in Scripture, and then the angels with the Lord Jesus will return. They will fill the sky, and there will be countless thousands. I have no idea how many angels God has. He hasn't told me. He didn't think I needed to know. And so what I think about this, though, is this, that when Christ comes with His angels, which is what the Bible says, He is coming with His angels. When He comes with His angels, the world will see that God has an incredible army. They will see how daunting it is to go up against Almighty God. And you and I might see for the first time something that we sometimes lose sight of. And that is, not only is God going to win, and God has won in the triumph over death, in the resurrection, and the triumph over our sins at the cross, but He will demonstrate just how glorious a God He truly is and how worthy of worship He is. He will demonstrate, and let me use this word now because it's a good one, how foolish people have been who have turned away from the living God. Let me say something to you today. If you don't know God, you should come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You want to be on the right side. You don't want to be on the wrong side. Now, that's not a motivation to be saved. But I'm going to tell you right now, when the angels return with the Lord God, and every eye shall behold Him, even those who put Him to death, they will see just how mighty an army God has. And as mighty as the army that we claim as America, how much more mighty is God's army when we speak of the angels. Now, Michael, Gabriel is an angel as well, only two names we know in Scripture. Well, the third one would be Satan, who is a fallen angel, and his demons, the fallen angels that follow him. But Gabriel is an angel as well. He confronts Zechariah and then also Mary. You remember the announcement of Jesus' birth. You have found favor with God. Also, there are angels such as cherubim and seraphim. These are wing-like creatures in Scripture. They denote deity is nearby. And we see those in Ezekiel and in the book of Revelation. We have angels who warn Lot and his family, but we don't know who they are by name. And the Bible says they are ministering spirits as they ministered to the Lord Jesus. You remember after 40 days, He had gone without food and He was tempted. He was driven into the wilderness by the Spirit, and there He was tempted by the devil himself. And it says, afterward, the angels of God came and ministered unto Him. They are ministering spirits. But let me just get back to Hebrews here, and I'm the only guy, I think, who's ever preached a sermon and spent a lot of time warning people about listening to it. But I just feel like I got to. Because even though the Bible speaks of angels, the attention is not to angels. The attention in the Bible is to Jesus Christ. There has never been an angel who offered himself as an atonement for sin. There has never been an angel that did not leave the glory of heaven without the Lord God Himself dispatching him. He did not leave on His own will. He did not leave on His own choosing. He left because the God of glory said, here's what I want you to do. Get down there to where my servant Daniel is. There's a big old ugly lion in there. I don't know if he said that or not. God doesn't talk that way, surely. There's a big old ugly lion in there, and I want you to shut up his mouth so he can't eat my servant. And that's exactly what he did. And when he got done with that, he didn't go to Kmart. He didn't go anywhere to B. Dalton or anywhere else. He headed right back to heaven and said, now what's next? And I don't know what he said, if he said about Stan Griffin. I don't know what come out of that. But having said that, God dispatches His angels for His purpose and for His glory and for His will. And there's no question that according to Scripture, they impact our lives. We don't worship them. They don't want to be worshiped. We don't acknowledge them. You know, I told you, I started this series by saying that if you look on Amazon, don't do that right now. No, don't do Amazon right now. Y'all think I've been in churches before where people are Googling and carrying on while you're preaching. That's disturbing, but it does happen. But anyway, don't do that right now, but just you can look at that later and you'll look and you'll see how to get in touch with angels. How to get in touch with angels. Where does that come from? You know, how do you get in touch with an angel other than live where I live? Amen. See, I had to get through that in. Yes, that's right. Y'all say, what has he been doing and he's got to overdo this? I don't know. It's always good to serve a preemptive strike in case something may occur in the future. So having said that, look, there's nowhere in Scripture that we're supposed to get in touch with angels. We don't pray to them. We don't necessarily communicate with them. We are not put in the position where they work for us. They work for God. They serve God. They're for His purpose. They are secondary to our own, though the Bible says there may be a connection from time to time. Now, let me pick up in Hebrews. I hope you have a couple of hours. Yeah, this is really good. I spent a lot of time in my computer. I got to get going here. All right, book of Hebrews. So, let's pick up here with the disclaimer for the sermon. Verse 3, chapter 1, this is Jesus. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint. Take that, Jehovah Witnesses. He is the exact imprint of His nature. You can't be the exact unless you is. The exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. He's got the whole world in His hands. He upholds the universe by His power after making purifications for sins. Now you know who He's talking about. That's Jesus. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's a position of authority. You won't find Buddha there. You won't find Allah there. Jesus is set down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as, now watch it, watch this, much superior to angels. Much superior to angels, as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son? Today I have begotten you. Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be my son. Now, turn over to chapter 13, because as I said, angels are not found in just one place. Relative to the size and scope of Scripture, they are almost insignificant, but we are speaking of them because the Bible does. But having said that, remember that the book of Hebrews is written to set forth the superiority of Jesus Christ. Now, I said, what is He superior to? Yes, He's superior to everything that exists. Do you exist? Yes, you exist. If you don't think you exist, you do exist. And God is superior to you. Jesus is superior to you. And He's superior to the angelos, which are His messengers, His ownership, His messengers. He's superior to them. They report to Him. He is over them. He created them. All you have to do is go to Fred's or the dollar store or anywhere today, and you will just see angel figurines everywhere. I mean, they're just everywhere. And you can look online, and there is a tremendous amount of material related to angels. There are books that have been written. And I got to tell you right now, you may think this is a book, but If you write a book on angels, I can tell you for one thing, you didn't get that from the Bible. You made a lot of that stuff up. We're going to talk about a watching angel in a moment that some refer to as a guardian angel. How much has been written about guardian angels? So, we're going to talk about that. Do you and I have, just because you think you do, one angel that's assigned to you to watch out over you? And I know most of us feel pretty significant that God, and we're in enough trouble most of the time that it makes sense for one to be assigned to keep an eye on us. But is that biblical, or is that just the fanciful imagination of somebody somewhere, and whether they meant to or not meant to, they wrote a book about and they sold it, and it's on the New York Sellers best list. So what does Hebrews chapter 13 say without really fleshing it out? And this is where preachers get in trouble because they have to explain everything, you know. But let's just look at this, Hebrews chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Just set forth. So if you look at examples in Scripture, there are examples in Scripture where there were those who encountered them, the prophets of God, kings, others who encountered angels. They did not know they were angels. They did not know that they had been dispatched by God for the purpose set forth by God. But the Bible says very clearly that angels have been entertained by people that did not know they were angels and they were in the presence of angels. So what does that say? Well, that says that these angels that it's speaking of, look just like anyone else, though they were not like just anyone else. They didn't have a mother and a father. They didn't have a mommy and a daddy like you and I do. They weren't born, whatever hospital or house you were born in. There's very few people that were born in houses. Some of you don't even know this. Babies used to be born in houses. That was pretty exciting, I got to be honest with you. But having said that, I wasn't born in a house or a chicken coop. I was born in a hospital, so I'm a part of the modern dilemma of life. But having said that, when we look at Scripture, it says that just straightforward that there have been some who have entertained angels and they didn't know it. Do we do that today? I don't know. I would be speculating at this point, but it is entirely possible because keep in mind, God dispatches angels for His purpose, and He does so to carry out His mission at His time. And if He chooses to do so through me or through you, He can. And if He chooses to do so through an angel, He certainly can. And there's no reason to believe that He can't, and there's no reason for me to say today that He doesn't. Now, the Bible gives us something here that I think we should take note of. And I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 18, because I want to deal with this question, and I'm going to call them protecting angels rather than guarding angels. Protecting angels rather than guardian angels, because whenever you say things, words have meaning. Chapter 18, the Gospel of Matthew, in verse 10, whenever you say things, our mind is set a sail. For example, if I was to mention Mickey Mouse, what would happen to you? You just disappear. Some of you go to Disneyland. Come back. It's the way it is, right? Or if I was to say like catfish and hush puppies and coleslaw, you might be sitting next to a person, their stomach would start to growl. Or you might be sitting next to somebody that says, I did not know you could eat cats. So, yeah, who knows what's going on in your head. But having said that, I want to say protecting angels rather than the guardian angel, although I just said guardian angel, right? So, I just want to keep it less of a something that somebody's developed and more a sense of what the Scripture says, protecting angels, protecting angels. Now, interestingly here, the Lord is speaking about children. How many of you, and I mentioned this last week, how many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand because I know your hands are tired, but Carly, did you already raise your hand? Okay. I see all things here. How many of you have seen this picture of these two children? I think it's a brother and a sister who are on this bridge. And underneath the bridge, I guess, is like a troll-like figure, the devil himself. And I guess he's going to wreak some sort of mischief toward these children. But you see the angel over the kids as they're passing over the bridge. Have you seen that? I've got that in my living room. In fact, it's signed a copy. It's not. But anyway, I think it's a very beautiful picture, and I've enjoyed it. My grandmother had one of those, and I remember as a kid she only had two pictures in her house. I remember it all. She had no. I don't remember if she even had any pictures of us. Maybe she hadn't acknowledged us yet, but. Having said that, I remember her having that and then the do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I thought of that when Rosie was talking today. So, what does it say about this in verse 10? See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Well, what is the inference there? And I don't think it's an inference that one angel has been assigned to Stan Griffin and one angel, well, Joe would need two, that one angel's been assigned to Joe and one angel to Jody, and he would probably need three. I don't think, well, maybe that's not enough. But hey, I'll insult you and love you all at the same time. But anyway, I don't think the inference there is meant that one angel has been assigned. But I think what's meant is the angels that who are at the face of God are at the behest of God for an assignment that would touch a child. I don't think there's any question that, however, God chooses to affect His will upon His people, He will do it however He chooses to do it, and if it includes an angel to accomplish it, that's exactly how He will do it. But keep in mind that it's not the angel who said, you know, I love you, Denise. It's not the angel, it's God who said, I love you. It is God who sends out His messenger for His purpose, for His glory, perhaps for our protection, but to work His will. Now, let's go a little bit farther since we're already in the Gospel of Matthew, and I spoke of this earlier, and I just want to touch it again, that according to Scripture, God is coming with His angels. He's also coming with those who have preceded, according to Paul, Him in death. He will appear with them as well. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 27, Matthew chapter 16. I hear your iPhones right now rustling. I hear the iPad just rustling there. Okay, Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man is going to come with His angels. Plural. He's going to come with His angels in the glory of His Father, and then He will repay each person according to what he has done. Now, turn over to chapter 24. Yeah, this is like a Bible drill. Turn over to chapter 24 and look at verse 31 as it speaks of the signs of the end times. And it says, and He will send out, verse 31, chapter 24, and He will send out His angels with a loud trumpet call. And they will gather His elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Revelation, the tour guide through heaven and through the events that must most assuredly come to pass. The tour guide is angel. Angels, angels, angels everywhere in the book of Revelation. And they serve God. They're for His purpose. You know, I think there are people who actually believe that someday we will be angels. But that's not good news at all. Because man is the crown of God's creation. When you look around you in this room, first of all, you know God has a sense of humor. That's inescapable. That's inescapable. But secondly, you are looking at God's work and the best of God's work. Man, woman, we are the crown of God's creation. We demonstrate the complexity and the diversity of our God. That He is able to take dirt and make something out of it. And what a something. A feeling, thinking, caring, loving, compassionate person. A transforming God. Dirt into us is transformative. You into Christ is even more transformative. Lost to saved. Broken to whole. This is God. He is coming with His angels. In chapter 25, I don't think I looked at that. It also says, chapter 25 and verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him. Now, I love that. All are coming. That's what it says in the latter part. All of them are coming. All of them are coming. Listen, when Christ appears in the sky, that's why it says every eye shall behold Him, because He is coming surrounded by His angels. You know, the new president has an incredible looking car. I don't even really know what all that is, but that is one fine looking vehicle. And whenever he goes, just like all presidents before him, I guess, he has an entourage. You know, there are all kinds of folks that are with him. And you got the Secret Service, and you got the code words, and you got all the things that are happening around him and so forth. And you got a decoy car or two, and nobody really knows which car he's in. And you've got all of that happening. And I'm telling you, when God comes, when the Lord Jesus comes, He's going to have an entourage. I mean, that's right. That's what it says. He's worthy of it. He's worthy. It'll be like Handel's Messiah and got Hallelujah and you got all this stuff happening and the glorious King is coming and the angels are announcing and the trumpet be so loud the dead in Christ will rise first. Why? Because you can't sleep during a trumpet. Even a bad one. You can't sleep. Trumpet will keep you going. My daughter Elizabeth plays a trumpet. I've thought about having her blow it about 10 minutes into my sermon. You can't sleep. The dead will rise. Michael and all of the angels, plus those who have been preceded us in death, raised according to the Word of God. What an entourage he will have. And I want to get to why angels were created. And I want you to go to the last book of the Bible. The last book of the Bible, which is Revelation. Revelation, chapter 7. Well, those of you who have been going through, by the way, we're going to offer that again this fall. And you ought to get in on that. If you don't, and Jesus comes, you won't get to go. I've read that, and that's what it says. It doesn't matter whether you're a preterist, a historicist, an idealist or a futurist. That's the way it's going to come down. All right, back to this. Angels were created for God. He made something for himself. I made that for me. And by the way, I got a little thought for you here. That's why he made you too. He made you for himself. What is the biggest scandal of a human being is not recognizing the purpose for which he was created. For God. Well, I just do my thing. You know, I just been enjoying my life. I just, no. No. None of that nonsense. I'm created for him. That's bigger. It's bigger. What'll be bigger when you look back over your life? Well, I worked for Walmart for 40 years. And see, when you do that at the end of that, no, I'm not belittling it, but I'm just using it as an example. They give you a little old pen like this. And they give you also one of these big old magnifying glasses for everybody. And you give them the magnifying glass and you say, I want you to see my pen. And they'll get 15 people up the front of the store too and they'll go, she's been here 40 years. That rhymes, doesn't it? That's good. I should lead that. Well, that's one thing, and I thank God she's been there all those years because it's blessed us. But I'm just saying to you, is that really, or she's been here 40 years, but the purpose God had for her was fulfilled in her being here, but it's bigger than just being there. That's what I'm trying to say. You work, you earn an income, you use that money in the work of the kingdom of God. You use those skills in the kingdom of God. And so we look at Revelation chapter 7, verse 11, and all through Revelation we see angels opening seals. We see seven angels. We see four angels. There's just angels everywhere. But not one of those angels will call us up and ask us what we should do or what do we think or anything like that. They're in the face of God. They're in God's face. You know, I don't know if it works this way, but one example would be like the pages in Congress. They these young people, you know, that are college age or so forth, and sometimes older, they just serve right there and they wait to be given their orders. And that's what I think about with angels. They wait for God to give them their orders. Here's what you do. What you accomplish. But it is God who gives the orders. It is God. You know that. You get this. I'm just trying to make sure that I clear this up. Because I've got to stand before God someday and give an answer for the teaching that I gave. And I want to be sure that I've been clear that this sermon, this series of sermons, was about him and not about them. All right. Revelation chapter 7, verse 11. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessed and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to whom? Our God. Forever and ever. Amen. The angels want you to know that they know who is God and that they know why they were created. Now, angels are different from us, and I don't know exactly how to work through that because I've heard preachers use the word free will and so forth, and I'm not sure exactly if that works well or not when we think of angels. But angels are created for a purpose. they're not allowed, evidently, an opportunity to repent. When they don't fulfill that purpose, they're judged. And we see that in Scripture. When Satan was judged by God, and he was cast out of heaven along with his angels, which are demons. All you have to do is look at the demons and know this. They know who God is. You see that over and over in Scripture. They confess who he is. They know who he is. Jesus of Nazareth, what do you have to do with us? We know who you are. They know who he is. And when the Bible says every knee shall bow, so shall they. But if you look at the angels in heaven and you see their worship and you realize the worship confusion we live under today, where all kinds of confusion and weird stuff, there are some things that are probably pleasing to God that are done today and some things that aren't. But when you look, they worship in humility. They worship in recognition of who they are. They worship in recognition of who he is. All three of those things are necessary for worship to occur. Humility. Secondarily, I know who I am. Most importantly, I know who he is. Why is worship a lost art? Well, it never was an art. But why has it been lost? Because people have lost a sense of who God is, in part because they don't know who they are. And the truth of it is that we're all sinners, every one of us. God has provided a way through the offering of his Son Jesus upon the cross for our sins. He satisfied the payment for sin, and he satisfied the wrath of God upon sinners. And today, you can be cleansed and forgiven and be guaranteed eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. However God works in the world, it appears he works through angels. But it is his work. It is his purpose. And it is his love for you. Shall we bow together? Father in heaven, I pray that nothing I've said has been wrong. I pray that nothing I have said has taken away. I pray that all it has done is clarify our understanding of Scripture straight from your word. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.